the dominion and the power God gave them, the glory that they walk in that divine fellowship with God. So he set them up to sin, and they ate the apple. And then we lost it. That glory, that dominion. And how do we get it back? 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 18 says, "Whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, so that all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is a spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." So the veil, you guys remember when Jesus died on the cross, there was a veil of separation that tore in two. And so what happened was this: Jesus dies, and the veil of separation between God and man was torn from head to toe. And all of a sudden, for the first time ever, you could see God and live. And not just see him, but you can reflect his glory. What we were created to do, to rule and reign in this earth and have glory and to reflect it on other people's eyes. JC, I hit you right in the eyes, but you're never going to forget this point. You got this? We were created to receive the divine character, the divine nature of God, and reflect his glory on the earth. And when there comes glory, there's dominion. Isn't that right? Okay. So follow me here. So how do we live this abundant life? Sherry, you have baited us. How do we live this victory over sin? A victorious life is free from sin. It's walking in the gifts and the flow and the blessing, the character, the nature of God. It is not being ruled by circumstances. It's being all God's called you to be despite them. Are we ruled by circumstances? Just in case you didn't read the New Testament, it's kind of a hard walk. I don't know if you were ever spoon-fed this, like, if you just become a Christian, just accept Jesus, everything's going to be rainbows and sunshines. It's just a candy-coated, just cakewalk with God. Wrong. But I'll tell you this, circumstances may come at you, but the joy of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and you walking in his dominion says circumstances get in line with who I'm called to be in God. That's a life of abundance. It's not being ruled by the circumstances of life. It's not being ruled by your old nature. Barely saved, just sweating bullets, just praying that no one offers me free drugs again. Titus 2:11 through 12 says, "For the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing have come forward for the deliverance of sin, the eternal salvation for all mankind. It has trained us," what has trained us? Grace has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness and the worldly passionate lusts, desires to live self-controlled, upright, righteous, godly, holy, spiritually whole lives in this present world. But the catch is this: we have to cooperate with God's divine DNA that he gave us. If you want to cooperate with what God's already given you and grow in it, a good place to start is his word. Now, I'm going to give you three steps. We're probably not going to get all to them. So I encourage you to go dig it up. Go dig it up this week. Okay, step one in living a victorious life over sin is to renew your mind to your new God-given grace DNA. Got to give them something to work with, huh? Second one, get a kingdom mindset. And this is a fun one. I've been studying on this one. Get a kingdom mindset. I'm going to tell you what that is. And number three, be filled. Be filled to the point of overflowing with the Spirit of grace. Did you know the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace? I cannot wait to teach on this stuff. But okay, so we have to cooperate with God's DNA. So our old nature is bound by sin, right? Jesus came, died on the cross for our sins so we can stay barely saved. No, he died on the cross and was preaching the kingdom of God. So the moment you accept Christ into your life, there is a freedom that happens. You are set free from the old nature. Tara, come on up here real quick. I have youth, therefore I have props. Okay, so, Tara, you accept God. You accept Jesus as the Son of God, and he has freed you from sin. So take off the chains. Catch this? Real easy. Real easy. Okay, hold on to it here. But you know what most of us do? We forget, we realize what we've been saved from, but we are so attached to the old us because we're so berated with these memories, with this condemnation. Shoot, our own family rubbing it in our face all the time. Remember when? It's not bad enough that God, that Satan's already like, remember when? We have people in our lives that remember when? You might need to do a degree of separation from some people that keep rubbing your old stuff in your face. Because what happens is if we are not careful and we don't renew our mind to our grace DNA, who God's called us to be, the glorious resurrection of the life he's called us to, we slip back on those chains. Good job. Good job. That's right. And we become bound to them. My kids know this one by heart, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a real basic scripture. And in the Amplified and the Good News Translation, it says, no temptation that is common to man, basically anything life can throw at you, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted, berated, hit upside the head with stuff that you can't handle. The Good News Translation, I love how it says it. It says, he won't let you get hit, basically, beyond your power. Power, does that sound like grace? God's divine empowerment? Beyond what the power to remain firm and give you strength and endure and provide a way out, a way of escape. So when you see someone coming at you, go, hey, remember me? Remember us? Remember what we used to do? Hey, remember last weekend? Remember last night when you really messed up? God said, I've given you the grace. I have given you the new nature. I have given you my nature. I have given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. I have given you the power and the strength to throw off the chains that are already broken. And ready for this? I've given you the exit sign. This isn't a run with your tail between your legs kind of thing. This is the way out. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already broken off the chains, but some of you in this transitional season of renewing your mind to who you're called to be are so cozied up with the old you, the old nature, the old mindset, all the old memories. You're so sin conscious and not grace and God conscious, you can't even see the exit sign. Now, here's the catch. Cooperate with God's grace. So get away. Tara, get away from that. That's junk. That's not even who you are. You are so not that junk. You're so far from that. This is who you're called to be. The glory of God. The glory of God. And God has given you the power, the grace, the DNA to pull the fruit of your life into something glorious. And he's given you the exit sign. Now, here's the catch. But we got a choice. When Jesus came, he set us free from the power of sin. But you know what? God loved us so much, he didn't make us robots, right? Okay? God loved us so much, he made us free will agents. Now our lives are complicated. Now we have a choice.
Yes, God, I will go love people, and I will not yell at my spouse who yelled at me all day long.
No, we have a choice. We have a choice to take the exit sign. But God has given you the grace, the divine empowerment to do what truth demands in your life, the power and the strength to do it. You just got to make a choice. All right, don't leave because I have a lot more to preach. Good job, Tara. Everybody thank Tara for, she didn't know she was doing this. So instead of slipping the chains back on, how do we remain victorious over sin? How do we keep an abundant life? Okay, so step one, renew your mind to your new spiritual DNA. Number two, get a kingdom mindset. And number three, be filled with the Holy Spirit of grace. So we're going to talk a little bit about step one. My goodness, where does time go? Let's talk a little bit about step one. All right, so John chapter 8. Everybody turn there. And I'm going to go over a little bit of a story. One of my favorites. I probably got about three favorites in the gospel. This always hits top of my list. John chapter 8 is the woman caught in adultery. I love this one because it's so beautiful because it, it clearly defines mercy and grace. And for the sake of time, get the other CD. But I want to talk about this. The woman caught in adultery. Olivia, come on up here. That's how I keep them awake. Okay, this is my girl Olivia. All right, now Olivia is just an incredible, grace-filled woman. So this is outside of your character, but we're just going to go with it. So, okay, so what happens? All the religious leaders, the church of that day, decides to throw her out in the middle of a court, caught in the very act of adultery. And just for the visual, let's just think about what she's probably looking like if she's caught in the very act of adultery, a very undignified, smeared with the dirt of sin. Throws her in the court in the middle of the church. They don't bring non-members to church. Probably a member of the church. And says, hey, look what she was doing. Jesus, what do you say about that? I love the response. Because according to their day, the judgment is death by stoning. It's not a quick shot to the brain, guys. It's a very public, very shameful, excruciatingly painful, slow death. And she deserves it. But mercy always triumphs over judgment. So mercy, she deserves death. Now Jesus, get this, did not just free her from death, from guilt, from shame for her dying in that reputation. Jesus gave her grace, and this is how he did it, and this is mind-blowing. And I want you to think about who you are in this little story here, because there are two kinds of people in this story. There's the woman caught that knows she doesn't deserve anything, very humbled, crying out in her heart for help. And then there's the church with their little back pocket sin. Look over there, because then maybe they won't notice this. Look over there, because this big, fat, messy, disgusting sin makes this one look pretty good. Just gossip. Just slander. Oh, just division. Jealousy. Contention. Strife. But that's not a big deal. That's just like the little things. I'm just working on it. Look at this one. Look over here, Jesus. Don't take a look over here. This one. And you know what Jesus does? He stoops down and writes in the sand. And there's a lot of speculation. Some theologians that I trust say that he was writing names. Mistress A, Becky, Josephine, Roxy. Writing little names in the sand. And they kept pressuring him. And he said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. How about you take the speck and deal with the log? And says he continued to write. And I think he started writing the names Becky and Joe. Okay? Roxy and Randy. Like, started connecting names. And it said they slowly, now I don't know, that's speculation, but they slowly started walking away. So I don't think the whole mob could see the names. But I think everybody started thinking about the little tiny things that I got, the corner, the little lint in my pocket. And here's the beauty of it. Then Jesus turns to this woman and said, hey, woman, where are your accusers? You know, who is the accuser? Satan. Hey, and when Satan needs a little help, he just turns to the church. Where are your accusers? And she says, Lord, because there was a faith, there was a believing. Lord, they're nowhere. And Jesus says, go and sin no more. Now here's something. Jesus spoke words of grace. The divine empowerment, the word of God, it's red letter in your Bible. He spoke the word of God right from the source. Go and sin no more. And you know the great thing about my Jesus, he doesn't set you up to fail. In those words spoken over her life, if Jesus stood before you physically, which he does technically in the body of all of us, if he stood before you physically and says, woman, your sins are forgiven you. Go and sin no more. You better believe it. Jesus told me face to face. I believe it. Everybody else heard it. I am no longer that woman. That woman, the old one, died. And the new one held her head high. Because my God says I am more than my past. My God says I am more than the sin that I was only caught in minutes ago. My God says I am full of grace, his divine nature received in my life to hold my head high and be him on this earth. Jesus spoke grace over her, spoke life over her, called things that were not as were they, as though they are. And everybody heard it. And they better believe that woman who still, on the outside, looked the same, talked the same, had the same boyfriend, suddenly was free. And free not to just be barely saved from death. She was free to become the woman of God she was called to be. You can go ahead and sit down. So my question to us, church, there are people in this building that got some stank on them. They don't need a reminder. We know. So stop speaking and pointing out what's wrong in their life and start speaking grace. Right? That's my friend. You got it. My friend Natalie's got it. I want you to think about this. They know what's going on. The whole church knows what's going on. Their neighbors know what's going on. They don't need one more person saying, now you know. Listen, you know, you're causing some confusion, you know, causing some tension. You really need to get your life together. They don't need one more person speaking that over them. They need to know what God says about them. And you might just be the voice. Oh, wait, we as he was, so are we called to be, to speak it over them. Speak life. This day, we have a choice, free moral agents, to speak death, criticism, gossip, complaining, slander, or speak life. And it's probably not going to make sense. They may even probably laugh in your face, like, really, you're going to call me a man of God, a woman of God, called to do great things, pure, holy, righteous, with a mini skirt and the stuff hanging out? Yeah! And it's not a mocking thing. It's grace. They don't deserve it. But someone's better speaking it over their life. Because sometimes they haven't quite figured out how to look in the mirror of their Father God's eyes. And it may need to start with you. You know, Jesus is really simple. You know, they have seminars. They actually have seminars. They have like week-long conferences about deliverance ministry. I don't get it. My dad didn't either. Jesus was real simple. Did he spend 5 hours delivering her? Psychologically breaking down, you were probably abused, okay? You were probably this and that, and probably, you know, your dad spoke down to you. Your dad wasn't a part of you. You got daddy issues. Da, 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 da. Invite Jesus into the situation. Da, 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 da. They don't make it real complicated. Jesus said, woman, your sins are forgiven you. Where your accusers go and sin no more. Be all that you're called to be. Jesus is real simple. He's not trying to make it real complicated. He's not trying to make you jump through hoops, say 50,000 Hail Marys and do good and dressed in turtlenecks and you know, just changing on the outside. He's real simple. He's full of grace. Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God will be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Jesus' words, go and sin no more, carried all the life, all the character, all the nature of God, the word of God spoken, all that she needed in life to be all that she was called to be. Second Peter 1, 2 through 4. Man, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it. But just remember this. The grace and peace be multiplied to you in the full knowledge of God. Okay? And all things that pertain to life and godliness are yours. And you can escape, not by running, all the sin, all the nasty, all the entanglements, and become partakers of God's nature. A powerless life on earth is sin conscious. A powerful life on earth is a God conscious, grace conscious, knowing who you are in Him. Hmm. Go ahead, look up later, Romans 8, 1 through 3. But I want you to remember this. Everything in life begins with a thought. And the accuser, Satan, is coming at you with some real nasty ones. And if you're real lucky, there's people around you just doubling them up. Starts with a thought, turns to your words, becomes actions, and it controls your destiny. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 through 8 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds." If you fell asleep right now, I pity you. You know, sometimes we treat in the Word of Faith movement that, you know, I got to speak words. So we get our little confession sheets out, and every morning our hands are shaking of our horrible day that we have to face and all the people that just come against us and all our insecurities, and I'm heading out of town, but I'm enough belief. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm this, I'm that. And we just, like, speak this thing as this, like, mindless prescription to sorrow in our life, hoping it might just work. It's not about memorizing. It's not about just mindless repetition. I got to do my confessions today because it's going to be a day of warfare. The whole world is just coming against me. That coworker, she's out to get me. I know she's trying to get me a pink slip. I better do my confessions. I'm the righteousness in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things are going to do. Do you really believe it? It's not a mindless prescription. It is a taking captive of every single thought. And once again, despite how I look, I grew up with a dad that was an outdoorsman. I learned how to clean a gun and how to shoot one, I think by the time I was babysitting at 12. Doesn't mean I'm a great shot, but I'll tell you this. When you take something down, anybody gone claybird shooting? I have. When you take something down, man, you get that sucker in your sight. And man, there's a joyfulness about this. That thing's going down. And you get it in your sights, and you know exactly what the enemy is throwing at you. But you know exactly who you are in Christ. You know the God nature, the grace-empowered word spoken over you of your life. And you get that sucker in your sight. Almost got the tithe, almost got it. You get that thing in your sight, and you shoot that thing down. You take every thought captive. It's not a of just memorized confessions. Memorize scripture that I'm just living in fear and I better speak all this stuff over me, hoping it works, hoping I get my healing. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to die from cancer. I'm going to say every healing scripture every day. Get it in your sights and shoot it down confidently and joyfully, knowing who you are in Christ, and that's all he's got on you. Crazy little thoughts. Romans 12, 2. And I'm going to have to end here. So come back next week, because I got like six more pages of really good stuff to change your life in God. Romans 12, 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be fashioned after, adapted to the external, superficial customs. Be transformed, changed by the entire renewing of your mind to its new ideals and new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It's not just memorizing a bunch of stuff to feel good about yourself. It's knowing the grace-filled words God's spoken over you and letting it change you, transform you into a different mindset, into a different world, into a different kingdom. You got to get a kingdom mindset. So many of us are stuck at step one. We've been trying to memorize enough scripture for the last 30 years so we don't die of cancer. We've been doing our little confessions just to build a little self-confidence so I can, you know, go stand up and do the announcements. That's okay. When I first started doing the announcements in my old church, all my hands would shake. I tell all the announcement guys this. Sweaty, palmy, shaky hands. It took all the grace I had just to do the announcements. Now look at me. That's grace, because I knew who God had called me to be. But I had to step out and give him something to work with. Getting a kingdom mindset. What is a kingdom? A kingdom mindset, according to Andrew Murray, he's a really cool theologian, it is a state in which the life of God in heaven is made accessible to mankind and they enter into its enjoyment here on earth. What is the kingdom of God? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, your domain, your rule, your blessing, your authority, your abundance through me. Because as he is Jesus, so are we called to be on this earth. And if we, church, don't get the foundation straight, get the cracks out of grace and the glory of God called, reflected, received in our life to the world around us, we're going to get stuck on step one for the next 30 years. Swing low, sweet chariot, come back and take me home. That's why I'm not on the worship team. In the sweet by and by, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna walk with Jesus. When I get to heaven, I'm gonna see his face. We've been singing songs about getting the stink out of here. We forgot that we're called to be. This is our kingdom. Jesus died his blood on the cross so we didn't wallow in it for the next 40, 50, 60 years to be him on this earth. And take back the ground, become the glory, take back the dominion, be all that he's called us to be. But if we are not careful, we will wallow in our past, our insecurities, all the cards that are stacked against us till the day we die, studying about the rapture. You know, the fastest way to clear a table, on a date with me. Yes, I go on dates. These days it's trying to date ministers. So the fastest way to get me to shut down is talk about the end times and how Jesus is coming. Because I don't care. I studied it in Bible school 2 times over. But I am so excited because I got one life to live here. And yeah, we come back in the 1,000-year reign, whenever that may be. Whatever. Cross that bridge when I come. But I am so excited about who I am in Christ. And the grace and the power and the God nature and the one life I have to live. I get one shot and I'm so excited because this is my adventure. And don't you dare rain on my parade. When I get to heaven, I'll walk with Jesus. When I get to heaven, I'll see his face. I'm walking with him now. And if you're walking with me, you're walking with him now too. Because that's why I hold my head high. Because it's nothing that I am or I've done. It's not my mistakes. It's the grace, the divine nature, the DNA that has mutated me. And the girl that you see today that was scared stiff of public speaking. And the one time I asked God, God, use me. I'll do whatever you want. He gave me a vision of speaking to a whole lot of people, and I didn't pray that prayer for 6 months. Scared the tar out of me. I was like, I don't want to do this. That's my dad. Stop praying that prayer. This person here is enjoying the adventure of life, learning new things, making mistakes along the way. But I know that God's put in me a divine nature, the grace DNA, his nature, received freely in my heart, reflected through my life, so he gets the glory. And this kingdom shall reign forever. And it starts with you. So I'm going to teach next week on the kingdom mindset, which will, you want to get me talking about one of my favorites is the Holy Spirit. I will talk for days about youth ministry and the Holy Spirit. So this may be a month long, I don't know. But I'm going to talk about the kingdom mindset and then receiving the Spirit of grace, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's the key. The whole key is getting to point number 3. Man, you want to blow your mind? You want to talk about Jesus? Awesome. You want to talk about the Holy Spirit? Way awesome too. And let me tell you this. You get a hold of who he is and being filled with him, it will blow your mind. It'll blow your world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. To the nuclear power plant of God's power, God's glory, the manifested nature through the Spirit of grace. I don't know about you. I'm going to leave it here. But there are many callings in this house that we are so stuck on step one, renewing our mind to the grace nature of God, that we forgot who we are, kingdom of priests and kings. And we are so scared stiff of losing control that we've just kept the Holy Spirit in this little, tiny, neat, non-messy box of our lives. Yes, you spiritful believers. Talking to you too. So come back next week. If we can all stand up. And let's just pray. Elders, if you can come front for anybody that needs prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. It is alive and it is powerful. Lord God, it divides joint and marrow. It exposes motives of the heart. Lord God, I thank you that your word just empowered, supercharged, your word of grace by the Holy Spirit is moving on the hearts and the minds of this congregation, Lord God. And dreams and visions and calls that we've put on the back burner are coming to the forefront again. And it's a new thing. It's a fresh thing. Be not surprised if it's not the same thing as it was 10 years ago. Lord God, we give you our lives. Mutate us into you, God. We are not holding back. This is the year to start dancing. Let us be undignified and so full of you that the world may know and see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer, it's always good to have a point of contact. The elders are up front or getting up front to pray for you.